So let's talk about this kind of stuff a little bit. Let's talk about what role we have as Christians in our culture, in our world today. What role does the church have in our nation? Are we supposed to fit in? Are we supposed to fade away into the background and just kind of be who we are, but kind of not be seen or heard from? Are we supposed to sit back and simply watch as the world burns and goes to hell? Are we supposed to be hands off? Are we supposed to remain silent? Or are we called to something greater? Are we called to impact our culture? Are we called to influence our culture? Are we called to like interact and actually change the culture, the world that we live in? What's our role? And what's the role of the church in our world, in our nation, in our time, right here, right now? Jesus has something to say about all that. So we're going to look at a passage of scripture that if you've been around Jesus, if you've been a follower of Christ, if you've opened up your Bible a few times, then you're probably very familiar with this passage of scripture. It's found in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. Here's what Jesus has to say about our role, our position in the world that we live in right now. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." Now notice, he didn't say, "You are the salt of the church." You're the salt of Christianity. He says that you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And then Jesus says this in verse 14, you are the light of the world, like the culture of all the nations. Of all that God created, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp, put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. And so in the same way, let your light shine before other Christians only? No, let your light shine before others. Other versions say, before all men. Before your nation, before your community, let your light shine in the culture that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So Jesus, answering that question of what's our role in our culture, what's our role as Christians, as the church in the world today, he answers it by saying that we're salt and we're light. That's our role. We are to be salt and light. Light illuminates and pushes back the darkness, right? For instance, if all the lights went out in the room right now, which we don't need to do that, guys, but if they all went out and it was completely dark in here, how do you get rid of the darkness? You turn on lights. You turn the lights on, it pushes back the darkness. Salt is a preservative that prevents rotting and decay from occurring. Now, we don't do that so much anymore, but back in the day before they had freezers and refrigerators and all this fancy stuff that we have, you know that we are so blessed, that we are like so pampered, that we have more than what kings and queens had back in the day. I mean, come on now. So they didn't used to have refrigerators, but they had salt, and they realized that if they pack meat and other things in salt, that salt would preserve that from rotting, from decay, so that it was still useful and good. So salt is a preservative that keeps things from rotting and decaying. And Jesus said, if we lose our saltiness, in other words, if we aren't preventing rot and decay from happening, then the church is no good. Then we're useless in our world today. If we're allowing rot and decay to occur around us, if we can walk in the room, if we can exist and things are still rotting and decaying when we're present, then there's something wrong, Jesus said. There's something wrong. And I believe for far too long, the church has had a go-along to get-along attitude. We haven't been salt, we haven't been light, and the world is not a better place because of this. It's hurting, it's rotting, it's decaying, it's being overtaken by darkness. In fact, I was thinking about this. Darkness, come on, let's be real right now. Darkness has been overtaking our nation. Let's be real. 100 years ago, there was an abortion. It wasn't all this other filthy, horrible stuff. Redefinition of marriage, all this. There is now. That means darkness has been advancing, which tells me something. Where's the light? Because if the light is present, I mean truly present and turned on, darkness can't advance. It can't even exist. It has to retreat. I'm just using these analogies that Jesus is using here so we understand. See, there's no kind of gray area when it's either light or dark, right? It's either on or off. And Jesus is saying, hey, the church is either there making a difference or it's not. The church is either preventing rot in the culture and the nation that they are called to minister and steward, or they're not. It's just, it's one or the other. So I propose we step into a new normal. How many of you have been talking about, hey, we want to get back to normal? Right? And most people, I think, are finally at the place where we don't want to get back to normal. We want to get to a new normal because normal is what got us into this place anyway. And hey, this is a perfect time when everything is shaking and everything's messed up. It's a perfect time to hit the reset button, right? So we can actually get into a new normal, reset buttons. You know, when your computer gets all whacked out and weird and all that kind of stuff, hit the reset button, you know, a hard restart type of a thing, right? And I believe most of us want that in our world today and in our nation today. We kind of want a hard restart, a hard reset to go on here. We want a new normal. And I would say that the new normal has to be a new normal where the church is actually taking up our role as the ambassadors of Jesus Christ, his representative, salt and light in our world, in our community, in our nation, and in our culture. And that we need to bring the kingdom of God. We need to bring it, as they say. Be it and bring it. Point number one, Jesus confronted culture. Jesus himself had a message for culture. And his message was, you got to change. Jesus showed up, started his earthly ministry, and he addressed culture. And his message to culture is, change. You gotta change. You gotta turn from your way of doing things and you gotta turn to God's way. And I think that this Christmas season is a great time to talk about this. Because why did Jesus come to this world? Why? Why did he put on flesh? Why was he born in a manger? Why? To change things. Because this world was messed up, totally lost. Couldn't fix itself. And change needed to happen. Significant change needed to happen. So Jesus engaged culture. He challenged culture by calling it into alignment with the kingdom of heaven. Check it out, Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach. So he's starting his earthly ministry, and he began to preach. What was the message that Jesus preached? This is what he told the culture. This is what he told the nation. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent. Jesus shows up on the scene, and his message to the world is, you got to change because you're way out of alignment with God's will and his kingdom. And the kingdom of God is coming, so you better change. Jesus didn't show up, and his message wasn't this. I know that a lot of people think this. A lot of people say this. Jesus' message wasn't, hey, let's all get along. Let's just all accept one another and call it unity. That wasn't the message of Jesus. Jesus' message was repent, change. You got to change, world. It drives me crazy. I'm so tired of Christians painting this picture of Jesus as some sort of pacifist. I mean, there are Christians who are trying to turn Jesus into someone that they've chosen to be. It's creating a God in your own image, by the way. Not a good thing to do. But there are so many Christians that are trying to create Jesus into something that they have chosen to be. You know what that is? A coward. They're trying to paint Jesus, and they're proposing that Jesus is some sort of pacifist coward who wouldn't engage big issues in the world. Jesus is concerned with everything, the small and the big. For God so loved the world, everything. He's even concerned about our culture. He's concerned about the laws of the land. Concerned about everything. It says in Revelation 21, he was seated on the throne, speaking of Jesus. Jesus, it said, Jesus said that I am making just some things new. I'm just making everybody's heart new. And then cuddling with you and telling you everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. I'm making everybody's heart new. No, Jesus on the throne in heaven has declared, I am making everything new. Not just some things, not just partially, but he's making everything new. And then he said, write this down for these words, the fact that I'm making everything new. You need to understand this because this is trustworthy and this is true. I'm making everything new. And then he sent his disciples out with the same message that he was, which was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming. And Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 10:17. Now, are you a disciple of Christ? Okay, so this is the kind of stuff that Jesus is telling us to do now, okay? He tells his disciples, and as you go, proclaim this. Proclaim that, hey, Jesus wants your heart. Say a prayer, and everything's okay. No, Jesus has told the church, that's us, to go into our world and to proclaim this message that the kingdom of heaven has come. In other words, we are to proclaim to our culture that everything has changed because Jesus has come. You want a message for Christmas? There's a message for Christmas right there. You know what? Everything has changed because Jesus came. And you know what? He's coming back. He's coming back. And you got an opportunity right now to get on his team and to follow him. Jesus told his disciples this other thing too. Very, very, truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing. In other words, whoever believes in me and follows me is going to be doing the same kind of ministry that I've been doing here on this earth. But you're going to even do greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Now wait, let me back up because I get to watch faces as I'm preaching here. I want to make sure we understand something. God cares about every person. He came to redeem mankind. He came to save you. And if you were the only one on this earth, if it was just you and a piece of ground, he still would have come to rescue you and to make you new. So don't hear what I'm not saying, all right? He cares about everything. I'm going to go ahead and say this. We're at the top of the list because we are the greatest creation that God ever created on this earth. But we're to do the things that Jesus was doing. Jesus was calling a culture. He was calling a nation to repentance, to change. And we're called to do the same thing. We're called to be present in our culture and to call all our culture to change, to choose God's way, and to show them God's way, the better way, instead of the way of brokenness and pain and corruption and lies that's found in the kingdom of this world. We're called to show up in our culture that's drowning in the muck and the mire of sin and to bring the kingdom of heaven. To bring Jesus in his way of living. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, I want to get more specific because I want to talk about things going on in our world, in our culture, in our nation, right here and right now. Because you know what? God's word can be applied to the here and now. This is active and living. God has us here to be an active and living church in our world and in our culture today. So I want to get more specific here, and I want to address something going on in our nation. Let's talk about the potential of this widespread election fraud. Every single day, it's growing. Evidence of it is growing every single day. What's our role as the church, as believers, if there's evidence of fraud going on and deceit going on and corruption going on in our nation? What's our role? What are we supposed to be doing about it? I want us to remember what the Apostle Paul said to the church, how he instructed the church in Ephesus to handle things when there was evil going on in the land. Again, Ephesians 5:11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather ignore them? No. Rather expose them. Have nothing to do with corruption, fraud, all these fruitless deeds of darkness and sin that are going on around you. Don't get engaged in that stuff, but expose it. Bring it into the light. Bring it into the light. We're supposed to be actively exposing darkness, fraud, corruption that's going on in our land. That's a responsibility that we have because we're the light. And so the light needs to show up and illuminate what's being done in the dark, right? That's just what we're called to do. So is there evidence of fraud and corruption? The political elites, the power brokers, the media say there's nothing going on here, move on, nothing to see here. Nothing to see. AP says that, you know, so-and-so is the new president-elect or whatever every time. Anyway, have you seen that everywhere you look on social media, on YouTube and everything? Anyway, the facts, they paint a different picture. Monday, I don't know how many of you watched the evidence that was brought forth Monday over at the Hyatt downtown Phoenix. Some of the legislators, state legislators were there. Rudy Giuliani and others were presenting evidence. And frankly, they had to do it at the Hyatt in an environment that wasn't an official hearing because our elected officials, I don't know where they were at that time. I'm praying and believing that they're actually wanting to see evidence. They're wanting to hear about things that we're hearing about and are aware of. So I'm hoping that happens. But there was a lot of accusations. There were many testimonies that were given, many affidavits that have already been written and submitted under the penalty of perjury that have said some pretty amazing things about corruption and fraud that could be going on right here, even in Arizona. So what are we supposed to do with all of that? According to the ministry of Jesus and the admonition, the encouragement from the Apostle Paul, the role of the Christian, if there's fraud, is to not sit back and accept it. Rather, we're called to stand up, to expose it, and ultimately to push it back. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. I've been on the phone with a state senator talking about this, been in communications, sending emails and other kinds of communication to several state legislators and others that represent us here in this state to try to make something happen, to try to bring things into the light. And I hope that you've been doing those same things. You want help to do that? Go to my social media page, specifically Facebook. If you're on Facebook, go there. And I've posted some things. I've posted some of the letters that I have sent, that I've written to elected officials. I've posted links so you can get email addresses and ways to communicate with elected officials. These people work for you, by the way. Okay? They work for you. So they need to listen to you. And you can tell them what's on your heart, what's on your mind, and what your desires are in this time. Be Christ-like when you do it. No name-calling, all right? Be respectful. But we can talk. We're supposed to have a voice and be a voice in our time right now. So Jesus confronted culture. Let's move on. Let's look at the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist. John the Baptist also confronted culture. I believe the church in 2020 needs to be a little bit more like John the Baptist. We need to get a little John the Baptist in us. We need to get a little grit in us. You know what I'm saying? We do. We got to get a little grit in us. I'll be honest with you. It's almost embarrassing how mushy, gushy, and weak the church has become over the last several decades. I mean, we got to get some grit. Here's what Jesus has to say about John the Baptist. Check this out. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. You know what Jesus is saying? This crazy dude wearing camel skin, eating locust, just saying it like it is, he's the man. That dude is the man. Never been a greater one born of a woman. That loud, direct, in your face, say it like it is guy, that's the man. That's who I'm pointing to. Be like him. You know, that's in the Bible. We read the Bible, right? Don't just buy another book out there by some author that wants you to, you know, get all gushy. I'm sorry. I mean, it's just, come on. Jesus wants us to look to John the Baptist, and I believe we really need to do it for such a time as this. John the Baptist, he was willing to stand up for what was right, and he was willing to call out the darkness of his day. He was willing to get in the face of a king who was living in sin and corruption and darkness. He was the only one willing to do it and to call it out. And Jesus says, this dude's the greatest, emulate him, be like him. Check this out. It's found in Luke 3:18. And with many words, John the Baptist, exhorted the people, proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod, the tetrarch, because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. Ultimately, we know the story. John's head was taken. He was martyred. All right. It happens. I don't want it to happen to me, but it happens, right? But John the Baptist understood this, that a representative of God, somebody who wants to bring Jesus into other people's lives, somebody who wants to usher in the ministry of Christ in their community and in their culture, that person has a role of calling out darkness. That's one of the roles we have. He was the guy who ushered in the ministry of Jesus into the world. This is the guy who ushered in the greatest awakening that's ever happened in the history of all history. And one of the things that is highlighted about this man's ministry is he would not remain silent in the face of evil. And he would call it out. He would call it out. Jesus said, he's the man. He's the man. He's going to usher in my ministry. You know, the world and some Christian leaders are telling the church that we shouldn't make a big deal about this election fraud. Here's how it goes, and I don't know, maybe you guys have heard this a little bit. You know what? If we make a big deal about this election fraud, then we're acting like and we're kind of showing the world that we're putting our hope in man. We're putting our hope in an election. We're putting our hope in Caesar. We're putting our hope in a president, a certain man. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to seem like you're putting your hope in a man. So you just need to be quiet. and you just need to go back to your little four walls of your church, and you just need to preach some messages about Advent, the same ones that you preached 10 years ago for last, you just need to keep doing the same thing you were doing, and just kind of, just get back in your little box, church. I mean, come on, am I speaking the truth? I mean, that's what's going on. That's what's happening. Actually, you want to know what it looks like when we do that? When we put our tail between our legs and we get back in our little doghouse, our little Christian little church doghouse. You know what it looks like? There they are. Good. We can still control those Christians. They're still cowards. They'll still do what we want them to do. Everything's back to normal now. That's how it's rolling. And they want us to get back in the box once again. And I'm saying, I'm not living in a box anymore. I'm not doing that. I'm the light of the world. I'm supposed to be a city shining on a hill for all to see. I'm supposed to be salt that's like bringing some seasoning and dealing with all this rotten decay. I'm called to expose darkness. I'm called to look evil in the eye and call it out, even if it's a king that needs to be called out. So again, God's account here in the Bible portrays John the Baptist as a hero because he would call it out. But he looks at the other religious leaders of the day, those who went back in their little box and played their little role in society, cowards, complicit with what's going on. So, how did John the Baptist know what to do? How did he know what to say? How did he have the courage to get in the face of evil and call it out? I want to say this, that he listened to God, not man. John the Baptist didn't listen to man. He didn't serve man. He served the Lord. If we want to know what to say and have the courage to say it, then we got to be listening to God right now and not man. I've talked about that over the past month or two. Who are you listening to? If you're listening to the report of man, you're living in fear, and you're getting put right back in the box right now. But I know this, if you're listening to God, you're not walking in fear right now. You're walking in faith and courage, and you got a little grit going on in you right now. God doesn't like evil. He doesn't like corruption and fraud and lies and all that. And then like the pride of man and all that stuff. We shouldn't either. We shouldn't be comfortable with it. John the Baptist also feared God and he didn't fear man. We got to stop fearing man. What can man do to us? Come on. We've already won. We've already died. All of it. You know what I'm saying? We're already dead and we've already won. So, come on now. What can man do to us? We shouldn't fear man. Fear the Lord and only God. And so because John the Baptist listened to God, not man, because he feared God, not man, he ushered in the greatest awakening. We've been talking about awakening lately. We want to usher in awakening. We want to see it. Let's not fear man. Let's not listen to man. Let's fear God and listen to him. And we too can be like John the Baptist and usher in a great awakening in our time. So, we're going to be the kind of church like a John the Baptist kind of church? All right, let me get to point number three really quick here. Will we confront culture? Jesus confronted culture. John the Baptist confronted culture. Will we confront culture? What are we doing right now in light of this increasing evidence of fraud and corruption in our land? Will we confront culture? Will we? I'm just going to be straightforward. I imagine most Christians. Anyway, I'm not going to go there right now. Are we going to simply sit back and accept what's going on? Are we going to give in to corruption and just say, well, it is what it is, and that's what, you know, a fallen world is. That's what it does. mean, we could do that. Is that what, you know, Jesus went to the cross because he spoke about things and he said things that the world didn't like. Come on, let's be real. He said things that the religious people who liked their little box, and they were the leaders of the little box and the little kings of the little box. You know, he said things that they didn't like, and he said that things that the king and the culture didn't like. And so they crucified him. But he changed the world ever and ever and ever. John the Baptist said things that the Pharisees and Sadducees didn't like. The little, you know, those religious leaders had a little fiefdom, their little kingdom right there in the little box of the church. And he said things that the king of the land didn't like, and he lost his head. But he's the greatest ever born of a woman, according to Jesus. Let me just say this, standing by and allowing evil to go unchecked is cowardice. It's faithless. It's cowardice. And worse than that, I think it's just evil. I think it's just participating in evil. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, we've used this quote before. We've looked at this. He says that silence, and this is the guy who's dealing with the Nazis over in Germany and the extermination of the Jews and everything, right? So this is some serious sin. This is some serious corruption and fraud going on in this land that everybody wanted to sweep under the carpet and say, no big deal. It's just kind of, let's just kind of, you know, la, 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 we can't really see it. Let's just kind of move on and just go to church and sing the songs we've always sung and listen to the messages we've always listened to and just kind of la, 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 get back in our box, right? And Bonhoeffer said, look, silence right now in the face of this evil is evil itself. And God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. And that's right where we are right now in our world today. I want to be the real deal. I want to be a church that's willing to put it all on the line. I want to make a difference. I want to be salt and light in our world. I don't want to just say it. Yeah, we're salt and light. We're a shining city on a hill. Meanwhile, nobody knows we exist or hears anything that we have to say. I mean, well, that's just... that's make-believe. That's faking it. I don't want to fake it. That's saying fake it till you make it. You never make it when you fake it. You just don't, okay? You don't. Yes. James 5:20 says, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. We're not going to save the sinner from the error of their way if we don't do the same thing Jesus did and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. If we remain silent in the face of this evil and corruption, we're not turning anyone from anything. We're having no effect whatsoever. Jesus, John the Baptist, they're just two examples of men who confronted culture and women who confronted culture and changed it forever. When you read God's word, you see prophets who were willing to speak out and speak to culture, speak to nations, and call them to repentance. And many times those prophets were run out of town and even murdered. But they did the work of the kingdom of God. I want to encourage you to join me in this mission. I think there's been plenty of darkness. I don't think we have to look very far to see the fraud, corruption, the darkness, the evil in our land. And we do have this weird stuff going on with the election right now. And maybe after a forensic audit, maybe even after a re-vote, which would be really nice actually, maybe everything ends up the same way it is right now. Maybe the outcome is the same. I don't know. But I'll tell you this, if there's evidence of fraud and corruption, then we need to say, no, that's not acceptable. Not in the world that we live in, because the kingdom of heaven no fraud, no corruption. Think about this. Jesus tells us to pray for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And then we see the exact opposite happening on earth right now. We see the kingdom of darkness advancing. That shouldn't be so. And then we sit back and we say, well, we prayed and God is sovereign and whatever. Meanwhile, we're hiding our lamp, you know? And we're losing our saltiness. There are ways to engage. And again, like I told you, follow me on social media. If you're involved in, and this is just ways that I can help as your pastor to help equip you. Seek the Lord and he'll give you ideas and ways to engage our culture and to bring righteousness and to expose darkness. But I've got letters that I've written that you can go out and you can find them on my Facebook page and use whatever I have. During the week, I'm doing some Daily Dose devotions that I'm addressing some of these issues of our culture and our day and how we should be responding. And it could be information that you could even use as you're talking with others, as you're being the light in your community. I will tell you, I'm not remaining silent. I am calling. I'm talking with people that are elected officials in the land. I'm talking with others. I'm trying to get the word out. I'm trying to expose things. And obviously, in all of this, to be a light for Christ Jesus. And I want to encourage you, join me in this. We're better together. We're stronger together. One can put 1,000. Two can send 10,000 fleeing. So let's be those two, let's be those 200, let's be those 400 that are sending the darkness fleeing. Let's be the salt and light in our world today for real. Let's not fear. Let's move forward with confidence. Again, John the Baptist didn't fear man. He didn't fear what was going on. He feared the Lord. He didn't listen to what was going on to man either. He listened to God. And he changed the world and brought in the greatest awakening, ushered in the ministry of Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you, we are here for such a time as this to do the exact same thing. Let's stand up and let's close. If you're comfortable, just raise your hand. It's an act of surrender. It's an act of worship even to the Lord, acknowledging that he is king and that we're desperate for him. And so, Lord, we come to you right now as your church. And we say, God, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There is no darkness that's too big for your light, for your righteousness. There's no evil that's too evil for you to extinguish, for you already have won the victory. Sin and death have already been defeated. Lord, I ask that you would help us, your church, to come fully alive in this time and in this season. Break off any fear that we have. Break off any lethargy, laziness that we might have. Break off any cowardice that we might have, Lord, and fill us with your grace, that we would have your heart and your mind, your perspective on things, Lord. And that we would, in love, but in confidence and in truth, share your kingdom, your righteousness, your name, and your way to our world today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.